Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Hey guys, good evening, and welcome everybody of Empower, and to all of our friends around the world. Tonight's going to be one of those evenings again. I looked at these notes and I thought to myself, you want to know what we're going to speak about tonight. I believe that what we have to share will change your life, will revolutionize that, what the Lord wants to do in this season and in this time. And my prayer is this, more than anything, that as we start tonight, that the Holy Spirit would come right into your room, right into your house, right there where you're sitting. I wanna split the word open, so to speak, in the sense of showing you exactly what the Word of God is saying for where we are right now. But I wanna speak about the importance of the blood, the atonement of the blood, and I'm also gonna speak a little bit, we'll touch on that as well, on the big V that everybody is asking about, and how does that correlate to the mark, and all these things. And so we tonight's going to be a good evening. And tell me, as we have many friends on right now, I always like to know how many people are watching with you, and I would like to know. And as you answer me on that, what I would like to encourage you guys to do very, very much is become part of, many people have asked us about new membership. So we want to encourage every single one of you, as Pastor Eric said, that the people that haven't done membership, do membership. And I would even want to say, people that have done membership a while ago, go and look at it again, because it's such vital things that we're going to be sharing on the 23rd, whether you're local or global, it doesn't matter, because Empower is right there, a button away now. And more than that, I also want to encourage you guys again to the First Fruit Conference. And I want to speak to you just a moment about the First Fruit Conference. The First Fruit Conference will be a moment where, you know, we as a church will go before the Lord as one and present ourselves, our families before God. It is a very important time once a year where we go as families, go and present ourselves to the Lord. And through that, we give unto God. It's a free conference, our First Fruit Conference. And we want to pray in that time very specifically for our nation and for our world. We do this every year. It's a national thing we do. And every year we do this. So, and more than ever, you know, what I want to do tonight is I want to share just with you the importance once again of prayer. Guys, more than ever, prayer now is crucial. And so as you are busy linking on, I want you to take your Bible tonight, and I want you to go with me to the book of Leviticus. In actual fact, you know, wait of Leviticus, rather go to Hebrews, because we're going to stand still there for a moment. But I want to share with you tonight on the blood covenant. And if you can understand the blood covenant, you would understand everything about salvation, God's eternal plan. You will understand why you need the blood covenant. You will understand why you need Jesus. And you will understand why in this moment that without the Lord, absolutely, you'll be completely lost. But with God, all things are possible. So, and we're kind of in a season where we need the fullness of God. And give me some feedback, guys. Are these sessions good? Are you learning something? Because I must be honest, I believe that these sessions that we are presenting to you are of the best, I believe, that God has given unto us. And so it's a real privilege for me and an honor to speak out of God's Word. It's, you know, the Bible says the Word of God is like honey. It's sweet unto the soul. It's refinery unto the spirit. And it changes us eternally so. And so what we're going to speak about tonight is important for you for eternity. And it's important for all of us, but very, very specifically for every single one of us. So as you guys are enjoying this, I I want you to ask you to take a moment and share the gospel. And my style tonight is I'm prophetically teaching or teaching prophetically. In other words, I go to the word of the Lord. I understand what God wants for this time, for this hour, because as sons of Issachar, we need to know. We then look at the word of the Lord. We look at our time and we take a approach through the word of God and we decipher or we explain to the people where we are. So that is the task of any leader. That is the task of any shepherd, is they need to understand where they are leading their sheep through the pastures that they are going through. And I see some people are saying amazing prophet, amazing teaching. Some people say very good. Good evening, guys. Some people are saying incredible. I want to know just some feedback, and so that you guys can know. And so I want to speak about the blood covenant tonight, and very specifically, why is this so important for us? And then I'm going to touch on one or two very crucial things, I believe, for the Christian right now. And so can I ask as we go that you would be sharing this stream, share the gospel, tag people into this, let the people know about the word of the Lord. And I'm going to teach again. So teach slash preach, so that we can get into the fullness of the scripture. And we're going to have communion tonight. So please take out your communion. I want you to have communion tonight with your family. If you're there with your spouse, your wife, your husband, your children, then I want you to take out your communion, because a bit later on that we are going then to take communion together and lead you into that. But you'll understand why you're going to take communion. You're going to understand the power of communion tonight, guys. So let's go to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 17, verse number 11. And we're going to speak about blood atonement and why we need blood atonement. So I'm going to teach slash preach slash be prophetic about this, so that everybody can understand. And so in Leviticus 17, verse number 11, the Bible says, "For the life of the body is in the blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible." In other words, right from Leviticus, we see that life is in the blood, and we need the blood for purification. Then in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 22, the Bible says this, "In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." In other words, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And I'm going to draw for you. I want to show you something. And I believe as you guys would be following in power, you'll know we believe in revelation. We believe in the word of God. We believe in the depth of the word. And so it's very interesting for me, just by the way, I'm going to just draw this here for you. It's very interesting for me that the word sin is mentioned 447 times in your Bible, and the word blood is also mentioned 447 times in your Bible. Very interesting. In other words, for every measure, type, or kind of sin, there is blood. There's a blood available for you. And again, I say, you have to understand the depth of what we are speaking about tonight. So we're speaking about the importance of the blood covenant, and I'm going to draw a timeline for you, and I want you guys to be learning through this timeline that we draw. And again, I say, guys, if you want the notes, then I would like to ask you that we will be posting the link right now. And as we are posting the link right now, you are able to go to the link and get the link. And please put in all of that information if you want the notes of this evening service. And so this evening service, we're going to speak about the blood covenant, Okay. And again, so I'm going to draw a timeline. I want to explain to you, and I want you to have a look at it. So first and foremost, we have to start with Adam. So I'm going to speak about Adam. Then I want to show you that right from Adam, I want to show you Abel and Cain. Then I want to show you the Noah. Then I want to show you Abraham. And then I want to show you Moses. And again, what we are explaining tonight, we're explaining blood covenant. And why is this so important? Because you need to understand the fullness of the blood covenant right now. And so let's go a little bit deeper here. And guys, as you are learning, I want to show you one or two things. So I'm going to go to a red pen. I want to just be able to, so that everybody gets it. And this is what I want you to understand. So if you're learning with me tonight, this is what I want you to learn. With Adam, God had a plan with Adam. Through Adam, He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Then Adam messed up. When Adam messed up, God, that was the first time we see blood. The first time we see blood is with Adam. Because God kills an animal, and as He kills the animal, He makes the Adamic covenant to cover Adam's sins. Then we see Abel and Cain, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this in the Bible, but you see Abel and Cain, and both of them present an altar before the Lord. This is the word for altar. That's the word altar. Both of them present an altar before God. And one of the things that you might have never understood is that Abel presents blood to God and Cain presents fruit to God. And God does not accept Cain's offering, but He does accept Abel's offering. Now let's go on. Then we see Noah, he presents blood to the Lord. Then we see Abram presenting blood to the Lord. And ultimately we see Isaac with Abraham. And then we see Moses presenting blood of the Lord. So now we see right through every single one, that right from the beginning all the way to where we are right now. And this is the beauty of the gospel. We see blood for every sin. Again, for every sin, there is blood. Now you may ask me, Gebhard, why is this so important? Because without the blood, people don't understand, but without the blood, there isn't remission of sin. And so I wanna show you some awesome, amazing facts tonight out of the Word of the Lord. And as you are learning tonight, I want you to see this. I want you to be able to see the blood covenant and why you need to apply the blood right now in your life. And that's why we're going to have communion a little bit later on. It's because I'm going to show you why the blood covenant. So first and foremost, without the blood covenant, there isn't forgiveness by the blood. So in the Old Testament, what happened, listen to me carefully. In the Old Testament, what happened, there was a sinner and there was a high priest. And the sinner needed to come to the high priest and present his offering. And then on the shedding of blood, there was remission or forgiveness of sin. But there was a sinner with a high priest. Old Testament now. Are you guys there with me? Let me say it like this. Let me draw that again, that little picture for you. Because this is so important. So under the law, there was a sinner and there needed to be a high priest. And they needed to present, for their remission of sin, they needed to present blood before God. And without the remission of blood, or without the shedding of blood, there wasn't a remission of sin. In other words, there wasn't a forgiveness of sin. Now, I want to take this deeper tonight. So I want you just to see that. So what happened in Jesus? Because if you understand this, in Jesus, in the season that we are in right now, you're going to have so much insight, so much clarity is going to come to you. So first and foremost, without blood, there is not forgiveness. There's forgiveness only by the blood. There's remission of sin only by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no salvation. The shedding of blood was needed to be presented to God by the high priest. And there was always two people needed to go before the Lord, the sinner and the high priest. The sinner and the high priest. Does this sound good? the sinner and the high priest. Guys, does this sound all good there? Are you guys learning? Are you learning? Because tonight I want you to learn. I want to show you one or two key things. And this is very important what I'm sharing with you right now. And as I'm sharing this, I pray that you will be able to catch what I say. And I'm going to show you these things. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11 says this. Listen carefully, guys. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 11. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made of hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once and for all, and having obtained eternal redemption, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse you from your dead works to serve the living God? In other words, what you see in the Bible is massive if you understand this. It's pouring here by us now. And I want you to see what Jesus did. So at the cross, and I again, guys, if you want to take these notes, then I want to encourage each and every one of you to do the following. You will find a link right now again, and I want to say this a couple of times because we are making sure that the body of Christ right now is perfectly equipped for the season that you're in right now. And so the Bible says again, and you need to understand what Jesus did. So as I was explaining this morning, I want to explain it again because people are not understanding the full grasp and the full width of what Jesus did. And because people are not understanding what Jesus did and they're putting their faith in the wrong stuff, what's going to happen is you're going to see 2021 is going to become a bad year. However, if you understand what Jesus did and you place your faith in his finished work, 2021 has the potential to be one of the best years of your life. But you have to put faith in the blood, and I'm going to show you how. So when Jesus died on the cross, when he died, there was three things that happened. Please listen to me. He became your sin. He became your sin. He became your sin. He became your sin. This is huge. He became your sin. He became the Lamb of God. He became the Lamb of God, and there was a shedding of blood. Are you there? There was a shedding of blood. So as the perfect Lamb of God, he was crucified by his own people that he came for. And when they crucified him, there was a shedding of blood for the sins of people. Now listen to me very carefully. Because, and this is where people don't understand. They stop there and they're like, oh, I'm saved. No, wait, we have to go a little bit deeper. And I want you guys to go a little bit deeper with me. So if we... Hey guys, welcome back. We took a moment there. So as we do, what I want to ask as we go live, and we want to ask that all of you climb back on of us and share the stream and get going, guys. Just took us a moment. Everything went out. Our UPSs went out and we've gone to a generator now. And on that, and all the backup is there. So that's a moment or so. And won't you, we're just gonna take a moment and allow all of our guys to get back on of us. And I wanna share tonight again. Let's just go to the word of the Lord. But let's give a moment or so. I want to see all of the guys just jumping back on of us. And there you go. So what are we talking about tonight? As the guys are busy joining us, climbing back on, guys. And I hope you took that time there for a moment just to be that you registered. And there was three things that you needed to register for. That was first and foremost our new members. Secondly, you needed to register for Prepare SA. And lastly, you needed to be a part of our school initiative. And so as the power is back on and all of that, let's get back into the word of the Lord. And I want to share, I want to recap just for 2 seconds that everybody can just get where I was coming from and to where we want to go. So as we do that, again, all of the guys that are back on of us, just take a moment and let the people know we're back on. Let the people know the beauty of technology for us. But let the people get back on, because we want to share, I want to share with you one of the most, as we go into the word of the Lord, I want to share with you the blood. Then I'm going to share with you also the importance of not just the blood, but I also want to speak to you about, you know, the big V, as we call it. And so, as you guys are climbing back on, we're just giving it a moment. And so, let's give it a moment as you guys are getting back on. I see many of the guys are climbing back. I just want to wait for you, and then I'm going to go. So, what I was sharing with you, and I was sharing with you that timeline, and I want to share the timeline just again. And as you guys are on, share, guys. Use this opportunity, let everybody know. We lost a couple of hundred people there with the power outage. So let the guys know. We're back on. We're on Facebook, we're on. We're YouTube, we're on. Church Online, we're on. So I want to draw just this this timeline again. Adam, then I want to draw for you Abel and Cain. And I'm doing this for the sake now, because this video will be played afterwards. Then we see Abraham, then we see Moses, and then ultimately we would come to the cross. And with every single one of them, what we see is blood. We see God shedding blood here for Adam's sake. Then we see Abel and Cain both presenting an altar before the Lord, but Cain doesn't do it with blood, therefore God does not receive his offering. However, Abel does it by blood. And that's why God actually accepts it. Then if you go to Abraham, that's also by blood, God receives it. Then Moses, also by blood, and then God receives it. And what I was talking about before we went out is I was speaking to you guys about this time and this hour that we are in right now. And this is crucial teaching for me, that when you look at the cross, you have to understand the cross, because if you don't understand the cross, you're going to have huge issues in this hour. But if you understand the cross, there's so much power that will come to you. And I see people are saying back on, and so what I want to share about the cross was this. When Jesus died on the cross, you have to understand what happened there. When Jesus died on the cross, he died as the Lamb of God there was a remission of, there was a spilling of blood, and that was for the purpose of sin. Now, for you to appreciate what I've just said, the deepness of the scripture, I have to show you this in context of the rapture. Because if you understand it in context of the rapture, you're going to understand what God is busy doing with eternally. Because there's an eternal plan of God, and you want to be on the side that when God lets that rapture take place, you as a Christian, you want to be part of the rapture. You want to be part of the rapture, and that's what we're talking about. And that's why I've been emphasizing things about the mark of the beast, etc., because there is so many people that misunderstand it. Then you find that the Bible says in heaven, there is a tabernacle not made by the hands of man, and in this tabernacle is an altar. There's an altar. Now, I want you to understand something here. Please listen to me very closely, because I'm giving you, this is life-changing teaching. When Jesus died and He shed His blood, He didn't die just for your sin. He died as your sin. He died in your place. Okay, now listen to me. Then He went into heaven as the high priest, and He presented His own blood, the blood of the Lamb. He presented His own blood on the altar before God. Because the scripture I read for you when we started, we read the scripture where we said that in Leviticus chapter number 17, verse number 11, there's no remission without the shedding of blood. Then we shed Hebrews 9:22, that also says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So now we see that the altar and the tabernacle with the blood is necessary for forgiveness. Now, why is this crucial for this hour? And you're going to understand why just now. Everybody with me, are you guys learning? So as we talk about this stuff, I want you to, there where you are, take a moment and share the gospel. And also, I want you to get the word out, because tonight, I believe that, or with this sermon, I believe this is one of the most important scriptural teachings that I would ever give. Because if you understand this, if you understand the blood covenant, then you can understand the spiritual world. So let me speak about the spiritual world just for a moment of time. If you can, I want you to draw two things like this, and I want to explain something to you. This is the physical world, this is the spiritual world, and this is your soul. Now, when God made man, and I'm going to draw this twice, when God made man in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, the Bible says God made man in His image and in His likeness. So before sin, a man's spirit, a man's soul, and his flesh was alive. In other words, he was dwelling in the presence of God. Okay? But now the Bible says the following. Please listen to this. Now the Bible says this. Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and named him Seth. In other words, if you look at this, and you look at this, oh guys, I pray that there we are, that you are learning and that you are taking this on, because I'm going to show you how the blood is crucial if you want to have eternal life, how the blood is crucial if you want to be raptured, and how the blood is going to be even more crucial. As this morning I spoke about the anointing, tonight I'm dovetailing it with the blood. I'm bringing the two things together. So I'm speaking about the anointing and I'm speaking about the blood. And I'm bringing the two things together for you tonight. So this is the importance of it. Again, I say, this is the soul. This is the spirit. And this is the body of a man. Now, you and I, we carry in ourselves, when a man have never given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, their spirit and their soul is dead. That's why when Jesus came, he said, no man can be born again unless he's born from above. In other words, what happens is this, and I pray to God, I explain it well enough to you tonight, is that when a man gets, so let me explain it like this. Just go into my notes. I want to show you something. I don't want to miss this. This is the physical realm. This is the spiritual realm. This is where God is. Angels. Demons. The physical realm is where man is. Now, when you and I are born again, the Bible says our soul gets washed by the blood, and the Holy Spirit goes and lives in my spirit man. And it's in this dimension that I get sealed by the Holy Spirit. Are you there? Are you with me? Are you guys learning? Okay. Can we go a little bit deeper yet? Because I wanna show you. Yeah, the stuff is, people, folks, guys. If you can get and understand what I'm busy teaching you tonight, if you can get the fullness of what we are sharing, nothing ever needs to be feared in your life. But if you misunderstand the washing of the blood, you will never understand anything else. And that is why right now, and maybe I can draw it like this. I'm going to draw a little man for you. And I know it's not going to be the perfect man, but anyway. And I'm going to draw a second drawing here. And I want to draw it like that. This is the body of a man. This is the soul or the spirit of a man. Okay? Now, I want to color this in so that you can understand. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a life being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Please listen to that again. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So because of the first Adam, so let's draw them here. Because of the first Adam, the Bible says that your soul and your spirit died. Okay? But because of Jesus, your soul and your spirit, they become alive. In other words, Jesus comes and he lives in your soul and your spirit, man. Now I wanna go a little bit deeper here. Can I go a step deeper in power? Can I show you? Because if you catch the fullness of this, there is going to be so much life coming for you. So what has this got to do with the rapture? And what has this got to do with the time that we are in right now? Everything. Because what happens is this, is if you have a man, that was a bad sketch. I hope you guys are learning. Deeper pastor, okay, let's go. I want to show you something again. Let me go back. Are you guys, does this notes help? Tell me, does it empower, does it help you? Does this assist you? And because I want to assist, I want to teach my people. So I want to teach my people. And again, if you want the notes for tonight's service, there will be a link out that you must fill in all of your details. And then we will get tonight's sermon to you. Because what I'm speaking about is the importance of the blood covenant and why salvation needs to happen. So what happens is this. Again, let me draw this little man. Oh, yes, this is bad. Okay, let me draw that. So what happens is this, is when a man and a woman is born again, and when you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, as I've just shared, your spirit man, I'm trying to do this like really good here. But I want you to see this. This is your soul and your spirit. Your soul and your spirit. And what happens is this. Is when you die, your body is sown in incorruption or in corruption. I don't like errors, so let me just fix this. The body, let me make it simple. The body goes to the ground. The soul plus the spirit goes to be of God. Okay? Now listen to me very carefully. On what premise does the soul and the spirit go and be with God? That's a very important question. Because the body goes to the ground, listen to me carefully, the body goes to the ground, but the soul and the spirit goes to be of the Lord. But now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 that, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a life being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. So if God saved your soul, listen to me. I want to again show this to you. This is your flesh. This is your soul. This is your spirit. But when God made Adam in the beginning, listen to me carefully. When God made Adam in the beginning, before sin, he had a body. So now when we die, our body goes to be goes to the ground, but our soul and our spirit goes to be of the Lord. On what premise? Because that is a very, very, very important question. On what basis does your soul and your spirit go to be with the Lord? The answer comes in three dimensions. Your soul and your spirit goes to be with the Lord on the basis of the blood of the Lamb lying on the altar in the tabernacle of God in the heavens. In other words, let me say it again. There's an altar in heaven which the blood of the Lamb is on, and Jesus sits as your high priest. He sits as the Lamb of God, and he sits as your representative in the heavens. On what basis? On the basis of the blood. Are you guys understanding? Are you getting this? Are you guys, quickly give me feedback, guys. I wanna know. Give me some feedback. Say to me, I'm learning, I'm seeing this, because I want to show you what's going to happen at the rapture. Oh, I want to show you what's going to happen at the rapture. Because at the rapture, it's going to go crazy on earth. So can I say again? So Father God, and I will teach you, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Father sits in heaven. He looks to the blood, which is the sacrifice of Jesus on the altar. Then Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father as your high priest, as your lamb, and as your representative. And so you and I are saved not because we have put up a hand once in church and say, oh Jesus, we believe that we are saved. No. What do we believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? That is the bottom line question. What do you believe? We believe this. Listen to me. We believe that God gave us grace. So man is saved by grace through faith in faith in what? In the blood of Jesus. Are you there? Are you with me? Oh, I love this. Can you guys see this? So what is God's grace? God's grace is He gave you the lamb. You have faith in Jesus in His blood. In other words, you and I are saved because of the blood. In other words, we put our faith in the blood of the Lamb, which was pure and spotless. He didn't die just for your sin. He died as your sin. And now you and I are saved. We are born again, not because we are singing a Christian song or are visiting church. None of that. You and I are born again because you have put faith in the blood of the eternal Lamb of God. Oh, I don't know if it's just me, but this stuff makes me very excited, because what will happen at the rapture? It's this. At the rapture, what will happen is this, is that Jesus will bring with Him, and I'll explain it like this. Jesus will, as I taught you this morning, will come with His voice, with a trumpet sound, and of a blast of, with His voice, with a shout, and with the trumpet. That's how we'll know He's coming. Okay? Physical know how He's coming. And I said to you this morning, with His voice, He's going to call your name. With a shout, He's going to say, come up here. And with a trumpet, He's going to declare war on the devil. Okay? Or final proclamation that He is victorious. Now, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says this, He will bring back everybody that trusted in His finished work on the cross. Because the cross is the ultimate divider. At the cross, there was law versus grace. Oh, I pray, I know I'm teaching it, but I pray you get it. The law was based on the works of man. Can I write this slow? On the works of man. Grace was based on the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here on the cross, He finished it. He did it. He finished it. Jesus finished everything at the cross. Now, are you guys with me? I wrote through all my paper here. Are you guys with me there? Oh, I'm enjoying this. I pray that you guys can take a moment and share the gospel. There is so much in this, what I'm sharing with you right now. The power of the blood, the power of Jesus. And I'm going to show you why this is important. So when Jesus comes back, that was what I was busy writing. When Jesus comes back, with Him is going to come all of them that died in Him. And they are going to go into the ground, into their graves, wherever they are, whether they're by sea, whether they're by land, whether they have been cremated, doesn't matter. They will go into their bodies. This will happen all at the rapture. Then the Bible says, according to 1 Thessalonians, we will not precede those that have died before us in the Lord. They will go into their graves. They will get their new glorified body. They will go in front of us into the air to go and be with the Lord. They will wait for us. And then all the host of the saints that are still in the body will go with, be with the Lord. And the Bible says all of this will happen at the twinkle of an eye. If you ever wanted to know how powerful God is going to bring millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people with Him, Jesus now. Jesus is going to bring millions of people with Him. They're going to go into the grave. They're going to pop out of that with their resurrected bodies. Now their new bodies. And we that are alive, I believe He's coming in my time. We that are alive will go with Him to meet the Lord in the air. And I want just to explain that. The difference between the rapture and the second coming is very, very simple. Is that the rapture initiates the tribulation. And as I explained this morning, that when He has raptured His church, here we will stand before the seat of Christ, the seat of Christ. And as we stand in front of the seat of Christ, or the throne of Christ, the seat of Christ is the correct word, Jesus will reward us for everything that we have done in the body for Him. Everything that we have not done in the body will be burnt up, but everything that's done in the body, everything done in the body for the Lord shall go with Him. Then we will come back after the 7 years, and this is called the second coming. This is called the second coming. And we will come back with the Lord, and depending on what you did in the body, this side of life, this side of life, the way you live this side of life will give you rank when you stand in front of God. In other words, when you stand in front of God, Jesus, He will reward you on the what you've done in the body for Him. And on the basis of what you've done in the body for Him, you will get rank. And with that rank, you will return to the planet with the Lord in what we call the Armageddon, in the just before the 1,000-year rule and reign. Oh, guys, are you getting there? So, are you with me? So I want you just to take a second here. And this is so good, because we have to understand. Before I speak about other things, and I want to speak about the VAC and all of that, and. But before I speak about that, I want you to get what I'm saying. The Lord said to me this. He said to me, when He comes back and the rapture of the church will take place, He said to me, all of society will try to explain what has just happened. Because millions and millions and millions of people in a twinkle of an eye will be with the Lord. Just like that. He will rip open graves. He will open up the seas. And the dead will give up bodies everywhere. Everywhere you'll be seeing saints coming out. The seas, the rivers, the dams, the ground. If people were cremated, God is so powerful. He gets all of that little particles together. He raises that. Then the Bible says He rolls out a red carpet for you and me. And as the saints gather in the heavens, all of us that are alive, the Bible says, that I said this morning, we will hear the shout of Jesus saying, come up here. Then we'll hear our names. And then we would already start seeing people going to be with the Lord. And the Bible says the rapture will be a secret event. In other words, people around the globe will not know what's happening until it's happened. And when it's happened, then they will start to think, what is going on here? And that's why I am emphasizing what I'm teaching you tonight, because I want you to understand the depth of what I'm saying to you here. And when I drew my sketch, I want to just draw it again that you can get it. This is your soul. Your soul. This is your spirit. This is your flesh. If you are born again, truly born again, the Bible says He washed your soul. He cleaned your soul by His blood. He sealed your spirit by His Holy Spirit. He sealed it. Sealed it. He gave you a seal. He gave you a seal of ownership. Oh. And now everybody is asking, what is the mark of the beast? Now let me explain. Let me show you something that you can understand. Because if you have understanding about this, oh Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that the people of God, may they hear my words tonight. Lord, may they hear your words. Lord, I pray right now before I share the rest, Lord, that people will have ears to hear and eyes to see. The mercy and the grace of God. You don't understand how big is His mercy. He planned this thing from the start. Before the creation of the world, the Lamb was slain. God killed God to get you, to get me. So what do we put our faith in right now? What do you put your faith in? You put your faith in precious, precious saints, empowered believers. You put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which presented His blood on an altar in a tabernacle in the heavens, not made by earthly hands, the word of the Lord says. And so we put our faith in His finished work, in His finished work presented by the blood. And so people are asking all the time now, okay, but what is the mark of the beast? What is all of this stuff? What is going on around us? Oh, guys, take a moment. Share the gospel. Take a moment and share. We're going to have communion just now, but I want you just to be sharing. Just take a moment. In the middle of this season of 3.5 years, the Bible says there will be a man of lawlessness and a son of perdition. Halfway through the tribulation, the man of lawlessness will get a head wound. He'll die in front of the cameras of the world. Satan will go into this man, will embody him. It will become Satan incarnate. And here, in the middle of the tribulation, he will force a mark. He'll force a mark. And according to Revelation chapter number 13, without this mark, you cannot buy or sell. In other words, you cannot do any form of commerce, nothing. You can't, you'll die. And so, allegiance will be required from you based on your life. In other words, you will have to choose, do you choose Jesus or do you choose the mark? If you choose the mark, you are choosing four things. One, you are choosing allegiance to the Antichrist and he has to be here and you had to miss the rapture. Two, you are choosing allegiance to the Antichrist. Three, you are choosing worship to the beast. And four, you are counting your own life more dear than what you are counting the life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Those are the four conditions. And if you do that, there isn't any way that he can save you. Are you with me? So the things that we are seeing right about us right now should be concerning for you in this way. Is that we are, first and foremost, we are seeing a lot of carnal Christians. And carnal Christians, by that I mean the following, is that you will not be able just to say, you cannot just be able to say, I believe in Jesus. You'll need to prove that. You see, what COVID did with many people is this. There was man plus a plan plus God. That was before COVID. Many people. Most people. Most Christians I can define like that. Not you, of course, guys. But that's what COVID did. Man plus a plan plus God. Now, it's just man plus God equals life. In other words, God has reduced everything around you. I like the word deduce. He has deduced it, reduced it, deducted. That your only hope is God. And by the way, let me just say prophetically, I have seen 2022 already. And you shouldn't be afraid. Not yet. So you're going to be okay. However, you need to listen to love. And so take this teaching and let the world learn. And so, here is the problem. It is clear that there is worldwide control. It is clear that there is an agenda. It is clear that the numbers doesn't count up. These are things that we understand. Okay? But it goes much deeper than that. Because Christians are suddenly faced with the reality of death. That's the problem. So right now, Christians across the globe need to find a solution because it's the first time ever what they thought is like way there when they're like 90 or something is actually like here. And so for the first time ever, they need to deal with the reality of death. And we're seeing death all around us. We're seeing people die of COVID-19, which is real. We're seeing people pass on with many other sicknesses as well. So death is not new. But For the first time ever, Christians are asking the question worldwide, and I get a lot of questions around the mark. They're like, oh, the mark. And the reason why they ask that question for me, you know, is the vaccine, is that the mark? The reason why they would ask that question is because they are now asking the question based on where will they spend eternity. So now they're afraid. They're like, oh no, I don't want to take this thing. If it is the mark, then I don't want to spend it there in eternity. And I find it interesting that Christians are suddenly very concerned. It's not bad, you should be. But there is other things that send you to hell equally. And let me name them. Bitterness, rage, anger, unforgiveness, lying, cheating, stealing, backbiting, gossiping. Sends you to hell one way. And so for the first time ever, Christians are dealing with the reality of what can the possibility be of the mark. And everything I've seen up to now, except what I'm going to share with you right now tonight, I just think is very bad deductive reasoning. They don't. And so I'm not going to give you a full hypothesis here tonight. What I am going to say to you is that the Christian church across the globe will need to have an answer, not based on the mark, because this is a dress rehearsal for now. What they will need to have an answer on is what they've always needed to have an answer on: what is morally right? So it is an ethical question more than anything else. It is a moral question more than anything else that's happening right now across the globe. Oh, guys, come on. Are you with me? Because here is the fact. The Bible says that in Romans chapter number 3, verse number 8. Well, let me speak about the big vac quickly. One, what I could quickly just look up, I could see. And I'm going to do much more studying in that. But here is the moral dilemma. And I've seen so much people teaching on this. I'm like, yeah, why are you inducing so much fear? There is people that are pushing fear like crazy. And that's why many pastors in the past, they would say there's spirit of fear, spirit of manipulation, spirit of witchcraft. And they were right, because those were spirit, that are spirits fueling everything. So what is fueling everything? It's a spirit of fear, spirit of witchcraft, spirit of manipulation. Satan is at play worldwide. So we know that's the spirit. So that's why you were heard in 2020. So many pastors would have come out of their blocks saying to you things like, you haven't received the spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. But they were saying it because what they were actually doing, they were just understanding the environment around them, and they were getting from God that this is a spirit, and they were right. But what they were not understanding was they were not seeing into the future, understanding of a prophetic lens why they are saying what they are saying. And so many guys were just saying these things: oh, we don't like to be controlled, we don't like fear, we don't like death, we don't like this, we don't like that. And they were saying that with a pastoral eye. But what you need is a prophetic view. And you actually need both. And because with both, this is your and my dilemma, and this is my observation. My observation would be, if I look at this and people would ask me the question, my clinical observation would be this, that the human fetal kidney cell line that was used, the HAT293 from a kidney of a healthy girl that was aborted in 1972, and the retina that was used of a healthy boy aborted in 1985, which is, by the way, similar cell lines that was used in the 1960s for rubella, hepatitis I, rheumatoid arthritis, hemophilia, cystic fibrosis, etc. The question is not only where does this stuff stem from. That's not the question. The question that, the observation that we need to ask ourselves as Christians, that is the moral dilemma, is that there was death and life came out of it. So, and that's the observation. So death, there was death, there was murder, and we need to say it like it is. There was murder. There was babies murdered. And it's not like, and again, just so that you can understand, abortion is murder. There was murder, and because of that murder, now there is a scientific, medical stem line or thought line or research, or that's a better word, data that's coming from that. And what the Christian church should be answering right now is, do you really believe with all of your heart? Are you really pro-life? That's, and what I'm saying by now is just one observation. It's not, there's many, it's just one. Okay? But now it's going to get tricky ground, because we can then say there was evil, but now there's coming lots of good out of this. In other words, people's lives will be saved. Is that okay? No, man cannot make those type of decisions. Only God in His infinite wisdom can. But the church is faced with the same questions we've always been faced with. Is that, do we trust Jesus? And are we really believing when He said, love your enemy, go the extra mile, don't return evil for evil, do good to those that hate you? Do we actually believe that? Or have we come to follow the things that is just comfortable? That's the question. And so we can't just avoid one side and say that is our conclusion, but we don't do something about the other side, because that's you being a hypocrite. Are you guys there? Are you with me? And so what you should be asking about the big V is this. First and foremost, are they safe? Secondly, do they actually prevent infection? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm asking questions. Do they prevent infection, or do they prevent the symptoms of COVID-19? Thirdly, how long lasting will immunity be? These are good questions to ask. How long will the immunity be if you do get it? When will it be available to the public? And then, under good conscience, knowing all that you know, what is your individual decision before the Lord? That's kind of it. And so there's much I can say about that. But what I wanna get for you this evening is, this is what I want you to get out of being rapture ready. Again, my timeline, and it will put all of you out of the timeline, by the way. So if you look at the timeline, It should put all of you outside of that timeline. And that's why I'm talking about the blood. Because according to the word of the Lord, the mark will be enforced here. Okay? But for him to enforce it successfully, he needs to put his system in place. Okay, now let me go a little bit deeper. Can I go one more deeper? Three point five. Here it comes. But what I've taught you up to now, I've taught you, you need to be out of here. So you need to be raptured, which will take you out before this happens. And so what I've been teaching you here is before this event takes place, before this event takes place, I've been teaching you that one, that you should not be a Matthew 24 Christian. Two, I've taught you that you should not be a 2 Timothy 3 Christian. And I can't even say that is Christians. Lovers of themselves, boastful, arrogant, haughty, jealous, all this stuff. And I've taught you this morning that if you eradicate these things out of your life, there is something that God will give you, and that's called the anointing. And now the anointing plus the blood does 2 things for you. The anointing keeps you safe this side of life. The blood keeps you safe eternally. The anointing keeps you safe this side of life. And here is the Christian life. Does it make sense? So, you need both. You and I need both. We need both. We need both. And so let me say it again. Real questions that you should be asking is, and every person, every human being, you have the right to ask this question as a human being, because it's your body. You may ask, are these vaccines safe? You may ask, do they prevent infection? Or do they just prevent the symptoms? You may ask, how long will it last? And will it be will the immunity be continuant? You may ask, when will it be available? That's stuff you have to ask. But I want to put with you as a Christian just 2 thoughts, and then I'm going to pray for you. As a Christian, we have the anointing. And because we have the anointing, we have the power in the blood to let heaven come to earth and there be an exchange. So, may I pose this tonight? Because that's really what I wanted to get to. Guys, won't you just put the camera on me? Because this is what I wanted to get to tonight. I've been teaching long now. You need the anointing and the blood. So, quickly, there's 10 things that the blood gives you. It gives you life, gives you atonement, it gives you forgiveness, it reconciles you, it redeems you, it sanctifies you, it justifies you. It is your faith. It is your access to God. It is your victory. On all of these things, I have multiple scriptures. Multiple scriptures. Hundreds of scriptures. You guys can see my studies. Hundreds of scriptures. And so what I want to do tonight, again, is you have to understand what you are putting your faith in. You have to put your faith You have to put your faith in the finished work, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, before we have communion, why do we have communion? And I'm teaching you, I'm equipping you. This is equipping. I'm equipping you. Why communion? Why do you hold communion? Because every time you hold communion, you and I, every time we hold communion, what happens is this. In the heavens, there is an altar. In heaven, there's an altar. On the altar, there is the blood of the Lamb. Then you have Father God, and next to him sits Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sits next to him. Now, when you and I, when we take communion, what happens is this. When we take communion, we remind ourselves that he paid the price on the cross. That blood was shed on the cross. And now that blood is on the altar of God in his tabernacle. And when we take communion, we remind ourselves of what Jesus Christ did here and what is in heaven. And when we take communion, we show that we are one with Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. Are you guys seeing it? Oh, as he is, so are we in this world. Oh, my precious, precious saints. What I want to do tonight is, before we take communion, I want to allow you the opportunity, because as we go through this whole year is going to be a stop-start year. I prophesy that to you now already. It's going to be a stop-start year. However, you don't need to stop-start your life. Why? You have the anointing, you have the blood. And that's why if you put your faith in his blood, if you put your faith in his blood, you don't need to be concerned at all. You don't need to be worried at all, because you're already saved. You're already redeemed. You're already believing. And the only thing you need to do now is you must trust God fully, completely, absolutely, 100%. And if you do, there is a remission of sin. There's a cleansing of your sin, and you, my friend, are born again, and you have absolutely nothing to worry about, nothing. And so that's why as the saints, we must never forget the coming together of the saints. And so what I want to do right now in this moment, I feel so led by the Holy Spirit right now, is I want to give you the opportunity right now, again by names. There where you guys are listening to me from. I want to give you an opportunity right now again to make sure that you are born again. And so this is going to be our prayer tonight. We're going to pray that we believe that Jesus Christ was God. He became flesh. He went to the cross. He died not just for my sin. He died as my sin. There was remission for my sins through his blood. He rose on the third day. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, livingly now. Is Jesus the man? Is the man God, God man? And now he is waiting for his bride to stand up and be victorious. And when we are, he comes. And that's why I prophesied to you at the end of last year, as we went into the new year, I said to you that this year, worship will be definitive. What you worship, you become. And so I want to get people born again. And so if you are with me tonight and you're saying, Gebhard, I want to pray and I want to come to the Lord tonight. And you feel a movement of God. That's why no man saves. Jesus saves. You can say that with authority. No man saves. Jesus saves. No man saves. Jesus saves. His finished works saves. Oh, guys. And so, I want you to comment your words. Comment your name. That's you. If Jesus is speaking to you right now, then I want you to comment your name and I'm going to lead you into communion and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for sickness and everything else and we're going to bind that stuff up, cast it out because it has nothing to do with you. And you, my friend, need to be whole, set free, and delivered. And so I'm going to give a moment. I'm just going to give a moment. Look at the names. Come on, comment those names, guys. I'm looking at the names running. I want to give a moment for this because we're getting people back to Jesus. So there where you are, I want you to pray this prayer with me and then we're going to take communion. And this is, guys, just come and help me with the communion. This is what I want to pray. There we are. Pray this prayer with me. Out of the depth of your heart, I want you to pray this prayer. Pray with me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's remission of my sins. I believe He died, He went to the cross, or I believe He came, He went to the cross, He died, and He rose on the third day. I believe that through the shedding of blood, there's remission of my sins. Father, in this night, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. On the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you forgive me all of my sins and all of my transgressions based on the finished works of Jesus Christ. This I pray in faith in Jesus Christ. This I pray in faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that you write my name right now in your book of life. And I am amongst your sons and your daughters. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. What I want you guys to do is right there where you are. I want you to, it's communion time. So I want you to take the bread. If you're doing that with your husband, with your wife, with your children right now, I want you to take the communion. And the communion is the flesh of the Lord. So we're going to celebrate that He came. We're going to celebrate that He died. And we're going to celebrate that He rose again. And He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Because He lives, we live. So there we are. I want you to take the blood, right, the bread right now, which represents His flesh. And I'm going to pray for you and then we have communion. Father, thank you. And right now, here at Empower Church, Father, we can eat of your flesh, of the Son of God. And because of this, Father, our sins have been washed away. We have been redeemed. Our names have been written in your book of life. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Father, I pray in this night, as we eat of your flesh, Father, we break and we bind every form of darkness, every sickness, every bacteria, every virus, every person exhausted, every frontline worker, every hospital attendant, every doctor, every nurse, every policeman, every Father, every person, Father, we bring everyone before you, including ourselves. And we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we do this in the fear of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. As you take the blood, I want you to, as we take the blood, that Father, we thank you that as I explained, that through the blood covenant, we live eternally so, and our full confidence is in the blood. Father, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Holy Spirit, we love you. Father, right now on this night, Father, as we partake of the blood represented here tonight, Father, I thank you that through that we celebrate our oneness in Christ Jesus. You are our full confidence, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So now I want to pray for people. If you are where you are tonight, I want to pray for breakthrough tonight. The Bible says in Micah chapter number 2, I love that scripture. Micah chapter number 2, it says the Lord is the breaker. The God Perez is the God that goes in front of you. He's the God that breaks open a way. He's the God that shakes the gates of Satan. He is the God that breaks open a way that no man can shut. And so tonight, if that's you, if you're at a place where church, if you guys are at a place, we need a breakthrough. I want you to be, just come and say, that's me, or pray for me. And I want us as a church to pray together. Again, I say, Micah chapter number 2, verse number 13 to 14, speaks about the breakthrough God. And if that's you, if you are the God of Perez, Micah 2, verse 13, the one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out. You see, just watch this camera, guys. It's flashing all the time here for me. The Bible says here, verse number 13. It says low battery. What it says in Micah chapter number 2 and verse number 13. It says this. Micah chapter number 2, verse number 13. The one who breaks open will come up before them and they will break out. In other words, what God does is this. God breaks open up a way. Then a way gets broken up for you. In other words, God goes in front of you. He breaks open up a way. Then you come after him. And so if that's you, I want to put my faith with you right now tonight. Because God himself will break open a way and you will walk behind him. I give you this word tonight. And so I want you to receive this. And just say, that's me, that's me, that's me. I see people commenting. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now, there we are. Why don't you just lift your hands? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, through these cameras, Lord, I thank you that there's no distance when it comes to the Spirit. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that there where your people are listening to me, that right now, Lord, that the power, that your power will reach their lives. And Father, that right now, in this moment, they will be touched. Father, I pray, break open a way. I see businesses. I see families. Lord, I just pray, break open a way in Jesus Christ's name. There's people that's on this, you're desperate for God. I hear the Lord say to me, to say to you, this week, people that are in business, this week will be a unique week for you. This week that you're going into. There's people that are on this, and maybe you're going to listen after this as well. You need God very specific in business. And I hear the Lord say, this week will be an unusual week of breakthrough for you. This week. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, for every person that is in need of a breakthrough, I pray right now, Father, Lord, that they may see Micah 2:13 happen right now in their lives by the power of my words, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, I thank you that right now, into their lives, into their businesses, into their homes, comes breakthrough in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, that this week will be a week of divine breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. If that's you, just say, I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. Just say with me, I agree. Just say, I agree. Just say with me, I agree. Because I want you to agree. There we are. I just want you to agree. I want you to agree. I want to give you a principle. A principle. Quickly write this down, guys. Can I give you one more principle before we go? By the way, let me give you that principle. All business people, if you're in business, listen to me. Quickly put up for me Hebrews chapter number 4. And verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What do you need? You need God's mouth on your business. You need God's mouth on your business. You need God's mouth. And when God speaks. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, the word of the Lord is like a double-edged sword. The word double-edged, there's a Greek word, dichstomos, d means two, stomos is mouth. In other words, you need God's mouth in your mouth as you speak. So, I pray, this is my prayer, that you will right now, that God's mouth and His words over your business will be downloaded into your spirit man right now. And what you need to do, if God's mouth on your business, you need to speak that out. You need to say it. Because when you say it by faith, that's when it happens. So you need God's mouth on your business. That's what I hear the Lord say. Are you guys okay? It's your God's mouth on your business that is the difference. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that right there, Father, where people are listening right now to me, Father, that right now that they will hear your words for their businesses, for their companies, in Jesus' name. And that right now they will hear your words over their lives, in Jesus Christ's name. And I pray, Father, that right now that God-driven, two-edged sword gets driven into every bone, marrow, thought, satanic suggestion, and breaks it asunder completely. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Father, I pray, release your words right now over people's lives. Release it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you receive that, just say, I receive. So, Father, I pray that right now that your words gets released. And I want to give you guys a tip. Everybody at Empower, this is my tip. Go and sit with God. Meditate with God. Sit with the Lord. Ask Him. Write down what He says. Then start to speak it. And when you do, life comes forth. Life comes out. And eternal life comes out.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.